Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, this whole week we've been talking about the hashtag MeToo and the hashtag Time's Up.
Time's Up.
Movements. And we were really hoping that we were going to have someone to actually interview for today's podcast, for Saturday's podcast. But our schedules didn't work out and we weren't able to do that. And so, but as we were looking more into this topic, we found some opposing views or some alternate views of the hashtag MeToo movement, and we thought that we would talk about that a little bit today.
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about as we discussed the various topics from last week was it raises the question of, are innocent people being drawn in? And,
right.
And other people have raised the question, has the net been cast too broadly?
Right. Okay?
Because there's absolutely no question about the value of the movement, you want to make sure that innocent people don't get caught in it. And
right.
I think one of the first names that came up was Al Franken when he was first
right.
accused. A little bit of confusion with Al Franken is that prior to becoming a senator, he was a comedian.
Right.
Comedians might do this sort of thing. You know, There's a different standard for an entertainer than there is for a professional politician.
Right, and this very quickly introduces the challenge with talking about this, because of course, in no way is it right for anyone to engage in behaviors that make other people uncomfortable or We're allowed to engage in behaviors that make other people uncomfortable.
Right.
We're not allowed to engage in behaviors that make that harm other people,
or threaten their safety
people.
Or well-being.
Right.
Right. So granted, it's a thin sheet of ice, and
right.
you and I are going out on a thin limb when we talked about doing this. We said, well, this is a bit of a risk, and
right.
we acknowledge that we're taking it. So before we begin, we want to say there's absolutely no question that the Me Too and now Time's Up movements have been worth it.
Right.
However, it raises the question of, are we going a little too far?
Right.
Okay. And that's what we want to talk about today. So lo and behold, we go into the literature a little bit and find all kinds of articles
right.
that suggest that many of them by women, suggesting that perhaps the net has gone a little too far.
Right.
And the first one occurred back in December.
Right.
You know, in Politico magazine.
Right. And so there's actually four articles
right.
that we're going to kind of pull from today.
Right.
And the links to all of them is in the show notes.
Right.
And so you can read them. Some of them are a little bit more lengthy, and we won't
right.
be going through all of them, but they are good reads, and they provide a lot of good information
right.
as it relates to these perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. The first one comes from Politico.
Right.
And it starts back to, or it kind of starts looking back at the last bit of President Obama's
That's right.
administration, and looking at some of the work that and efforts that he and Vice President Biden put into putting an end to, creating an end
right.
to sexual harassment on college campuses.
Right, because what the writer says in this Politico article is that, in fact, we have an experiment
right.
of going after sexual predators, of being more aggressive with sexual
mm-hmm.
predators. And we have that example on college campuses.
Right.
And the reason we have it is because at the end of the Obama administration, they implemented new rules
mm-hmm.
or they encouraged campuses.
Right.
And when the federal government encourages you to do something, typically people respond, right? And so with the weight of Title IX, at the behest of Vice President Biden, he and President Obama set these new rules in
mm-hmm.
motion and said, we have to become more vigilant. Because what was happening on college campuses, of course, was women would accuse men of of assault and nothing would happen.
Right.
Or the victim would become victimized by the system.
Right.
Okay. And people were getting getting away with these assaults. And so, and the other reason for starting on college campuses was we would train a new generation of workers, of leaders, who had a different viewpoint of sexual assault. Because this goes back to 1994, when the Violence Against Women Act that Biden successfully pushed through Congress. What happened, however, and the short story of this article is that, in fact, it did get too far. It did go a little bit too far. And one of the things that came out of it was there were three unintended consequences of the law. One was that the accuser is always telling the truth.
The assumption.
That's right.
And right.
Second one was we let urgency become more important than fair procedures. In other words, this was such an egregious problem in the past. We have to fix it. And if a woman says she's been assaulted, we have to believe her. And the urgency to deal with the problem overcame fair procedures. And so men, boys, college students, male college students, were being accused before a procedure was worked out and consequences were meted out. And the third thing, and I think what has really touched off this controversy, is that we began to confuse criminal acts with flirting, with just clumsy flirting or hitting, what we might call hitting on women, that sort of thing. Became blurred, the line, that's how I want to put it, the line between criminal actions, physical assault or rape, began to blur between flirtation and silliness and things that that happen that are commonplace, that are not meant to be threatening or dangerous. And so there were three problems. These three problems arose on college campuses. And it did reach a point where it became problematic. And so the next administration, and this is, I have to mention this in all fairness, I'm not a big fan of Betsy DeVos and her educational policies, especially, I'm not a fan of Betsy DeVos. But she reversed some of these policies. It was generally acknowledged that it maybe had gone to, and she reversed some of these policies. And in doing so, was given credit by left-leaning and liberal publications like Slate and some others. So, you need to be fair. I don't agree with all of her policies, but in this case, she may have done the right thing, and that was acknowledged. So what this article in Politico magazine says is that the experiment on college campuses did go a little bit too far. And because of that, this writer was saying, the Me Too movement needs to get ready for a backlash because it's probably the same thing could happen with the Me Too movement.
Yeah, I think, and there's, because this introduces the issue that is, that a lot of us experience and that, well, not necessarily that we experience, but that we are worried we will experience. And that is, you know, if there is an allegation, then you are sort of stuck between these two, what the proverbial rock and a hard place of, you know, do you believe the accuser adamantly, or do you believe the accused adamantly?
Because they might be the only two who were there. So it's always a he said, she said. And where, so who do you, whom do you believe?
And there have certainly, absolutely, no doubt been people who have been wrongly believed on both sides. We have everything from the, you know, we're talking about college campuses, the Duke University lacrosse team. We have
good
that
example.
on one
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
And then we have people that, you know, have certainly been wrongfully accused. People who have, you know, there have been plenty of reports where, you know, students will accuse professors of doing inappropriate things to get back at them for poor grades or poor reviews and those kinds of things. And there's absolutely been reports that, and then it's been identified that they were false allegations. And so we're stuck in this place, this sort of purgatory,
right,
where you can't lean too far in one direction or the other. But then when you don't lean in one direction or the other, then you're chastised because, you know, you're not believing the person who was victimized, or you're taking whatever accusation and you're vilifying the accused.
That's right.
And I don't know how to resolve that issue.
Well, and hang on to that thought about we don't know how to resolve it, because when we get to the end of these, we're going to talk about that. We're in a bit of a, like it or not, we're in a bit of a bind. And once again, I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. We agree that the Me Too movement needed to happen.
Right.
That these powerful predatory men needed to be stopped.
Right.
Okay. So that nobody disagrees with that.
Right.
Okay? But we have created a bit of a bind for ourselves here.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy to get out of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's exactly what happened in France.
Right.
Okay. Because one of the points you made, is playing itself out in France right now, because a famous actress by the name of Catherine Deneuve, who is also a bit of a feminist herself, she's been supportive of the feminist movement. She and 99 other French women wrote an open letter for all to read about their belief that the movement there's a movement in France, an analogous to the Me Too movement. It's called Balance Ton Porc, which is
roughly translated to
Expose Your Pig. Right. Pork is pig. And so Expose Your Pig. And that's the French analogy. That's the French version of Me Too.
Right.
And these women have voiced their opinion that they believe that the movement has gone a little bit too far. And the main reason is they're arguing that it criminalizes what is... And this is really a delicate dance I'm going to try to do. One is clumsy flirtation.
Right.
Now, they're just men who don't... It's almost like they have poor social skills. They don't realize... they don't have the subtleties that they need to flirt properly.
Right.
And so they kind of stumble around.
Right.
But there's another point that these French women make, and that is that there's nothing wrong with sexual behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not a bad thing to become the object of somebody's sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm standing on a very thin sheet of ice, and I acknowledge that. But I'm just reporting what these French women said, is that I don't mind being the object of somebody's sexual desire.
Right.
I don't want to be raped. I don't want to be assaulted. I don't want to be taken advantage of. But that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And what they're afraid of is there's going to be this, they referred to it as something about puritanical,
I'm trying to find the quote so you can, well, while you're looking for it, some of the lines or some of the things that they say in this letter, I found myself wondering how much of it is cultural, because of their perspective, and how much of it is, you know, I don't want to use the word feminism in a way that, you know, is in any way slanted negative, but I wonder if it's just sort of a feministic view of things versus a cultural view of sexuality and women's empowerment. But, you know, they mentioned some things in the letter. Like, you know, what was it? Something to the effect of we shouldn't criminalize behavior that could be just settled with a slap across the face.
What they're saying is that this is like a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the Salem witch trials. Okay. Right. There are two dark stains in our past in the United States. One is the Salem witch trials,
right,
where this hysteria took over and people were not only blamed, people were hanged, people were executed for being witches when in fact they weren't. The other one, and we're going to talk about it later, is the McCarthy scare of the 1950s, where people were branded as communists.
Right.
They weren't able to defend themselves. There was no forum to defend themselves, but they lost careers, they lost jobs, they were denigrated, they were criticized, and some people had to leave the country. In fact, Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, the man who led the whole atomic project, was completely discredited just because he was accused of being a communist. And so we have these comparisons, and again, while, you know, people at the time thought that those were worthwhile projects.
Right.
You know, so we all need to be careful, because while the intentions are good, sometimes in our zeal to correct the wrong, we maybe do cast too big a net. Okay.
Right.
The phrase that I'm looking for that they used was the puritanical wave of purification, that you're going to get rid, that if we are overzealous, that's not a bad thing, because we get rid of this scourge, and if some innocent people have to suffer, well, so be it, because the most important thing is that we get rid of it, this urgency to root out all of it. The other thing they worry about, and the other phrase that Deneuve and the other women use in their article, is the idea that we have gone too far, and that we are confusing rape with clumsy flirtation.
Right.
All right. And that's what they're worried about, is that we're the line between these two has become too narrow.
Right.
And, you know, men can be crude and thoughtless without being dangerous.
Right.
Okay. I ran into this, it was years ago, with a woman in, San Francisco is known for being very sensitive to language. Mm-hmm. And I would say things that I have said all of my life, and everybody knows I'm not I don't think I am. But she would take me to task periodically, and I was surprised, because I thought, it doesn't mean what you're attributing it to it. But I had to be very careful when I was around her about my word choice, and we called it the language police. You know, she was always policing everybody else's language for little code words that she found offensive.
Right,
okay, that everybody else, it wasn't just me, that everybody else in the room was using as we had used them all of our lives, without intention, without hurting anybody. But she was very sensitive to that.
Right.
And the final point that the letter with Deneuve and those women made was that we don't want to unleash the very strict, narrow interpretation of this thing.
Right.
And that's the other thing they're afraid of, is that we have this... I mean, there are people who do have an axe to grind, and they want to go after every man who has ever even hinted at offending anybody.
Right.
And that they disagree with.
Right. Yeah, one of the lines, and again, this is to me where you wonder how much of it is cultural versus how much of it is empowerment, but it says... this expedited justice already has its victims, men prevented from practicing their professions as punishment, forced to resign, etc., while the only thing they did wrong was touching a knee, trying to steal a kiss, or speaking about intimate things at a work dinner, or sending messages with sexual connotations to a woman whose feelings were not mutual. To me, even within that list of things, there's quite a spectrum of behaviors.
That's right.
That could be interpreted in different ways there.
And
touching a knee or trying to steal a kiss is very different than, trying to talk to someone about, making a joke about an intimate thing
Everybody knows this. Everybody over the age of 15 knows this. There are men who can approach a woman in a sexual way, and it's flattering. Right. And another man will use exactly the same words and exactly the same approach, and it's offensive. Okay? I don't know how to divine those two. I don't know how to separate those two, but I do know that it happens, that some men can do this and women are flattered, other men can do it and they're offended.
Right. Okay?
So we have to be very, very careful about the line that we draw between dangerous assaultive behavior and just clumsy behavior.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I think that from our perspective as psychologists, you know, certainly one's history plays into that.
Right.
You know, if you have a history of abuse, a history of...
If you're a male, you mean?
Well, I'm thinking primarily actually of a female. If a woman has been abused in the past...
And the victim of abuse.
Right.
Right, right.
And then someone comes in and says something...
That's true. Yeah.
Something that's even very, very benign, but...
But if she has PTSD
from
her past, you're right. You're right. So it wouldn't just be the person delivering it. It could be the recipient.
Right.
Could be just hypersensitive. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There are so many factors that play into it.
Right.
And again, I think it have to go back and again remind ourselves of that really challenging position that we put ourselves in, and you know, others are put in, where we are sort of forced to either believe the accuser or believe the accused, and you know, there are all these other factors that you can't just don't know.
Right, and the other point that when these women published this letter, of course. Talk about a backlash.
Right.
They received a backlash from from other women.
Right.
And the idea being that you're turning it back. You're ruining the movement. You're diluting it.
Right.
You're taking away its force. Because what these women what their critics were saying is that we should lump it all together in order to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what these 100 French women were arguing was, no, we're not necessarily accomplices just because we like for men to look at us in a sexual way.
Right. You know, one of the things that I think about is, and this is maybe even just a silly example, but I really like the television program The Office, especially the American version of it. And Steve Carell, he's just hilarious. But remember, there was this long running joke that he would do where someone would say something and he would say, "That's what she said." That, you know, based upon some of the definitions that we've been talking about here, that could be viewed by some as harassment.
You're right.
And again, depending on the sensitivity, because of history or because of whatever the case may be, just a statement such as "that's what she said" could trigger something in someone that results in a response that leads to a harassment claim.
Right.
It's such a delicate balance.
You know, you mentioned The Office. Last week we talked about Mad Men and the culture that existed in offices in the 50s and 60s. Well, that culture has changed. So the lines were clearer then. Women knew that men were going to hit on them.
Right.
It was just part of the job.
Right.
It shouldn't have been, but it was. In today's workplace, men and women are much more equal. And the message is... You don't do that anymore.
Right.
However, as a species, we still flirt with each other.
Right.
And it's not unidirectional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just men flirting with women.
Right.
In our species, we have mating rituals. We have attractiveness rituals. And so even though it should be absolutely equal and there should never be... Mary Tyler Moore had a show. Do you remember it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Hugh Grant was her boss.
Yeah.
I forget what his name is, but there was never anything sexual about their relationship.
Right.
That's how it should be.
Right.
It just never came up. Okay.
Right.
But that's not how it always is, because sometimes people do find each other attractive.
Right.
And so there are these mating rituals that are built into our DNA.
Right.
And so they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the French women are trying to say mm-hmm. in their article, is that these are normal behaviors that our species engages in. So we have to be careful that we don't criminalize what are normal, acceptable right. behaviors.
Yeah. And I think that one of the closing comments about, you know, from their letter, mm-hmm. They wrote, a woman can, in the same day,
that's right,
lead a professional team and enjoy being the sexual object of a man without being a promiscuous woman nor a vile accomplice of patriarchy.
That's right. You're not necessarily part of the patriarchy. You know, you're not encouraging yeah. the patriarchy.
Yeah.
These are normal behaviors that we've engaged in for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, once again, this is an article written by women. Now, it did get a backlash from women, but it gives us something to think about.
Right.
That this is going to be a difficult issue to sort out, and people are going to have differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So this shifts us to one of the other articles
mm-hmm.
that focuses on. Well, I really like this topic because it introduces another really challenging position, and that is
right.
the fact that, you know, both right now, both the accused and the accuser are our friends. They're people that we know. They are well-known people. Mm-hmm. They are people that we respect. And that introduces another sort of level of challenge as it relates to how are we processing all of this stuff?
Right. In fact, the title of this article, and this was in Bloomberg, is the Me Too movement has worked, and it was written by a woman, Megan mm-hmm. McArdle.
Okay. Right.
And she's saying that it has worked, but.
Right.
Okay. And she cite, this article was written in January, and she cites the Deneuve
right.
Piece. About lumping merely flirtatious behavior right. with criminal behavior, with rapists. And one of the people she quotes is Daphne Merkin.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, it's an article that I might have to get my hands on. The title of it is, What Happened to Women's Agency?
Right.
And that was another part of this that I hadn't mm-hmm. really thought about, that I'm glad is mentioned here, because what did happen to women's agency? Number one, women don't have to necessarily acquiesce. It's not like they have to give in.
Right.
Okay. To bribe. I'm not talking about rape, but I'm talking about the kind of thing,
right.
the kind of offers that right. Weinstein was making.
Right.
You know, that yes, you can have a role if you let me maul you, or if you watch me in the shower. Or something,
right.
Something
and.
Like that.
And Ashley Judd,
right? That's right.
When he proposed that with
her,
she declined.
She left.
Got out.
She
right.
had the agency, and she was a young woman at the time. She was
right.
a young girl. In fact, her father was down in the lobby of the hotel,
right,
at that time. And so she had the agency
mm-hmm.
to walk out and say no thanks. Now, had he been blocking the door and raped her, now that's a different situation.
Absolutely.
But she had the agency to say no. And so that's one question. And then the other question that Daphne Merkin makes is, why do women acquiesce?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why has this happened?
Right.
Again, not acquiesce to rape or assault,
mm-hmm.
but acquiesce to the deal.
Right.
Okay, the offer.
Right.
Okay? And then the third thing is, what are men being accused of? And
right.
that's what that. So again, we have this question of what are you being accused of?
Mm-hmm.
Are you being accused of being boorish or being clumsy? Or are you being accused of sexual assault?
Okay. Right.
There's a difference. Okay. So I was glad to see that. I might have to get my hands on that. What happened to women's agency? Because that's another thing that women need to talk about. And in fact, I talked to a young woman, a recent college graduate. And she didn't use that word. She didn't use those phrases. But that's what she was saying. Because
mm-hmm.
she said, I would go to fraternity parties. And you just didn't do certain things.
Right.
And that's how you stayed out of trouble.
Right.
You minded what you were drinking. And you thought about what you were doing. And you didn't let yourself get into compromising positions.
Right. And I think that, you know, we talked about this the other day, that we think about that when it comes to girls and women much more than we think about that. We never think about what boys should and shouldn't do when it comes
That's
to,
right.
you know, drinking.
To
or,
protect
or
themselves. They,
to protect themselves.
Right.
But we have mm-hmm. to think about that with girls. And it's absolute that it shouldn't be that way.
You shouldn't. That's right. You shouldn't have to.
Right.
But I'm sorry, when you mix testosterone-laden college boys and alcohol,
yeah,
I'm sorry. The reality is you have to think about that.
Right. Yeah.
And now, if you want to get rid of alcohol, we tried that once. Mm-hmm. No, that didn't work. You want to get rid of college campuses? No. Fraternities? No. Fraternity parties? No.
Right.
The idea of girls, one of the things my daughter did when they were in college is they would always go together,
right.
and they would always make sure that they left together.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of them started to drink too much, they sort of mm-hmm. Scaffolded
right.
or protected her. So they sort of, the six girls sort of looked after each other. They never went alone.
Right.
And so they looked after each other at these parties. Some women say you shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
That's wrong. You shouldn't have to do that. And we
right.
agree.
Right.
And hopefully the Me Too movement will move us in that direction. Because remember last week, one of the things we said is this is also a problem that we have, we mm-hmm. males, it's also our problem to
right.
solve. And we have to teach our sons.
Yeah.
We have to raise our sons differently than mm-hmm. than perhaps we were raised.
Yeah.
We have to be more mindful of that. So
right.
yeah, the obligation is ours too.
Right.
So yes, it shouldn't happen, but tonight, it's going to.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But
yeah,
there's one other point with it. You're going to get into it.
No, go ahead.
Oh, it's about you introduced it when mm-hmm. you first started talking about this, that we, not only is there not a clear line between what's criminal and what's clumsy, we know the people who are doing these things.
Right.
And the reason this problem is going to be, another reason this problem is going to be more difficult to solve is that in most criminal behavior, do you know any murderers?
Huh?
Murderers? Do you know any killers? Personally?
Well, not personally. I mean,
you don't. I mean, you do forensic psychology.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know a lot of killers.
I was going to say, that's
they don't
a
come
question.
To your, they haven't been to your house for dinner.
Oh, well.
You haven't gone, you haven't.
We not that I know of so
we
far.
We don't know criminals. Most of us don't know criminals.
Not to that extent, right?
Right. And so the whole legal system is sort of an objective thing as you committed mm-hmm. this crime and you go to jail and you're in jail and I don't care that you're in jail. I mean, American prisons are atrocious places, but
yeah.
we don't care because we don't know most of the people there. I know one person who did spend time in prison,
mm-hmm.
but that's the only one I know.
Right.
The rest are can I'm so far removed from prison that it doesn't affect my life.
Right.
I know Al Franken. I know
right.
these other... The
right.
fact that we... And when you know somebody...
Right.
It because the person I do know who was in prison did not deserve it.
Right.
Okay, that was a miscarriage of justice.
Right.
Everybody acknowledges it. And it. But I knew his case.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him.
Right.
And he was wrongly accused.
Right.
Okay. When we know somebody,
mm-hmm.
we give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
We tend to say, well, yeah, but he really isn't like that.
Yeah.
In this case, we know the people who are being accused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what Harvey Weinstein did was different.
Mm-hmm.
But some of this boorishness, some of this clumsiness that
right.
we talk about, And even some things that people are getting punished for that they did 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
20 years ago, we would consider that a miscarriage of justice because we know the people.
Right.
So this is going to be a more difficult problem to solve.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because we find excuses that and I think that's one of the things that made, the Bill Cosby story. For example,
you're right.
So
that you're right. You're
unusual,
right.
So weird because we knew him from his show.
He was right.
But then
everybody wanted a dad like that,
right? Mm-hmm. And as the stories came out, and we found out what was going on behind the scenes of that same show mm-hmm. that we were watching, you know, that started to shift the tides a little right. bit with him. But it was so.
Even now, it's hard to
right,
accept.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then and there are some people who still. You know, it's Bill Cosby.
It's Bill Cosby. He must. There must have been. There must be more to it than that.
Right.
Right.
And what he did, arguably, you know, if you put him and Al Franken mm-hmm. side by side, mm-hmm. the differences in what they
huge differences
did is massive.
Right. Right.
But what I think what I have the biggest challenge with, the biggest problem with, is that in essence. We are putting them in the same category.
They are in the same category. That's right.
We put Bill Cosby, Al Franken, you know, to some extent, President Trump, because of some of the comments that he reportedly right. made that were, what do you call it, locker room talk.
Right.
To me, those three things are all
very different
behaviors.
Right.
And this spectrum of behaviors... We're treating them all the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now certainly, I don't think I haven't seen that Al Franken is going, you know, being criminally charged or anything like that, like Bill Cosby was.
Right.
But still, when it comes to the perspective of, you know, he's not allowed to perform his professional duties anymore. He had mm-hmm. to resign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, you know, and again, if we want to compare Al Franken with, Anthony Weiner,
right?
Which is an interest.
I'm not going to touch. Oh no, never mind. I already did. Sorry.
Don't say I'm not going to touch that. Because that makes.
No.
That makes me want to say. That's
what
she said.
I already confessed.
But you know it's just these are not the same things.
They're not the same thing.
And that's and right. we're treating them as though they're the same things, and. They may cause ill effects on the people who were
mm-hmm.
victimized.
Right.
But they're not of the same caliber of behaviors, and so therefore they do not necessarily require the same level of consequence.
That's right. Garrison Keillor
mm-hmm.
comes into that same category as Al. I don't know what Al Franken did. I don't know whether
right.
he was just being goofy. I don't. None of us know.
Right, because it.
But did he deserve to lose his job over that?
Right.
Garrison Keillor lost his job. Garrison Keillor's. I don't know his private life.
Right.
But we're lumping them together,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes a problem. Right.
Right.
But yet, we find ourselves having not necessarily sympathy, but at least a rationale.
Right.
For Al Franken, Garrison Keillor,
right.
we don't for Weiner, we don't for
right.
Bill Cosby, you know, because there's so much evidence coming
because
out.
Because that was, what's the guy's name in Alabama? The guy
the
that was
senator,
just running for
Roy
senator?
Moore.
Roy Moore.
Yeah.
So we have these people who were clearly predatory.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people, and I don't want to come across as though we are sort of on this mission to defend Al Franken, but
right.
But at the same time, you know, his was, hey, we're in this situation, we've been laughing, haha. Did it go too far? Perhaps it went too far. We
right.
weren't there. We don't know. Right. We know what yeah. was said, but or what was said that was said.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But to put these in the same category, I just think is
right.
that's what Catherine Deneuve, that's what they were talking
that's
about.
That's what they're talking about.
These aren't the same things.
Right.
And we can't treat them as though they're the same things.
Right. And it's because we don't know the Al Franken situation. You know, we don't know, we don't have, and in our legal system, you
mm-hmm.
need to have evidence. You need to
right.
have income. Okay. And so beyond a reasonable doubt. Al Franken has already lost his job. He's
right.
not going to return.
Right.
It's unlikely that he's going to return. Garrison Keillor has lost his job. These people have already lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the damage to them has already been done, whether or not they were guilty. And
mm-hmm.
that's what people are concerned about.
Right.
You know, whether you're a college student and you get kicked off campus before all the facts are in, because
right.
that's what's happening in some cases, right. is that students are removed from the campus
right.
even before the investigation right. has been completed.
Right. Okay. And that's what's, you know, in many ways, that's what's terrifying for teachers, for physicians, for doctors.
Right.
That's
true.
You know, I remember when I was in my early 20s, mm-hmm. forever ago.
Wasn't that long ago?
About 20 years ago.
That's true. You're getting there.
I know. I'm trying.
You're catching.
One day I'll
watch it.
So, but
I saw you lighten up. You got real sparkly there for a minute.
But I became a full-time substitute teacher for actually at the high school that I had graduated from just a few years before. So this mm-hmm. I was in my early 20s and I had just graduated like yeah, 4 or 5 years previous.
That's a danger zone.
And so I took over a math position,
mm-hmm.
and I was teaching high school math, and it was a broad spectrum. So I had really low students and I had advanced mm-hmm. honor students. I remember one day a female student came up to me after class and she says, I'm really having a hard time getting some of this. Is it okay if I come by after school and you can help me? And I said, absolutely, sure, no problem. And so she leaves. Right after that, another female student came up to me and she says, don't be alone in this room with her. And I looked at her completely puzzled. I had no idea. It took me a few minutes to even figure out after she had left. It took me a few minutes to figure out what she even meant.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I later found out is that this girl had made accusations wow. about other teachers and gotten them in trouble. Now, of course, the entire day I have that cold sweat of,
right.
you know, what am mm-hmm. I going to do? Mm-hmm. How am I going to get myself out? And she ended up not showing up after school. So that sort of helped with that. But I was working to get other students in the classroom after school, so I'm not there alone. But it's that type of, we often find ourselves in situations where all a person has to do is make an accusation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the accusation is enough to take away, you know, it could be years and years and years of work that you've done to get to a position, and a false accusation just makes it all go away.
You know, now that I think about it, this is happening on high school campuses
mm-hmm.
and college campuses. One of the things that's happening on high school campuses, they have what's called a bully box.
Yep.
And again, good intentions,
mm-hmm.
okay? But a student can make an anonymous complaint about a teacher or a coach or whomever.
Or even another student, even. Mm-hmm.
Which triggers an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The person accused does not know the charge
mm-hmm.
and does not know the accuser.
Right.
But there is a formal investigation that right. occurs. Your reputation is tarnished after that.
Right.
You have that in your permanent file now,
mm-hmm.
okay? Whether you were guilty or innocent doesn't matter.
Right.
You have now had to hire an attorney in some cases. I know a coach
right.
who had to hire an attorney
mm-hmm.
who went through months of anguish as people were questioned, as the investigation was carried on for 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so this coach had to be concerned the whole time what was
right.
happening, because the coach never knew the charges, never knew the accuser. All the person had to do was make the complaint.
Right.
So again, a disgruntled student
mm-hmm.
can and has triggered a complete investigation.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true.
And people have even lost their jobs right. and everything over...
Or their health or their money or
right.
something, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, there's one more point that I wanted us to make before, that I wanted us to cover before we wrapped up for today.
Oh, no, so we have one more to go.
We have the PRI piece, right?
Right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. The Public Radio International piece.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Has the Me Too movement gone too far or not enough?
Right, right. And they too cite the Catherine Deneuve letter,
right.
Puritanism.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that the movement isn't taken over by extremists.
Right.
Okay, let's maintain our balance here, mm-hmm. because there are very significant consequences,
yeah.
to both men and women, to the accused and the accuser.
Right.
So let's be very, very careful that we take a balanced approach. And that's sort of the approach that they take here. And they talk about McCarthyism and the witch hunts and all that stuff. This one woman talks about, what do we mean by hit on a woman?
Right.
You know, he hit on me.
Right.
What does that mean? You know,
right.
is that a sexual assault?
Mm-hmm.
Should that be lumped in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does
mm-hmm.
hit on a woman mean? We don't know. There's a main point. Oh, yeah. Rape is a crime. Sexual harassment is a crime.
But at the same time,
right.
these other things are not necessarily
right.
crimes.
But even sexual harassment
mm-hmm.
in the workplace has become difficult to define.
Right.
Okay. And so we need to be very careful. You and I have been through sexual harassment training.
Right.
A couple of places where we worked, it was mandatory training.
Right.
Okay. That was in the early part of the 2000s.
Right.
About like 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We were trained in sexual harassment.
Right.
Has sexual harassment stopped? No.
Right.
No, despite our best efforts.
Right.
It hasn't stopped.
Well, despite Title IX, despite sexual harassment we've seen it charges in the media and training and everything. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at the end of this, they talk about men in politics and the media, especially those two, have lost their jobs.
Right.
Okay. And so you wonder, you know, have we gone too far? And there is this consensus that maybe the net has been cast
right.
a little too broadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that they quote another part of the letter, the French letter.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in fact, hashtag MeToo has led to a campaign
yeah.
in the press and on social media of public accusations and indictments against individuals who, without being given a chance to respond or defend themselves, are put in the exact same category as sex offenders.
That's right. James Franco was
mm-hmm.
either nominated or won some Golden Globe Awards.
Right.
And the next, or that night or the next morning,
right.
he was accused.
Right.
Okay. He's already been discredited. He didn't go to another award ceremony.
Right.
He opted not to go. We don't know what it is. We don't know what he did, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
He has already been discredited, whether
right.
guilty or innocent.
Right.
He's been caught up in this. I don't want to say hysteria,
mm-hmm.
but he has been caught up in this
right.
In this maelstrom, this energy.
Right.
The energy needed to be created.
Right.
But are we ensnaring?
Yeah.
People who shouldn't be.
And I think that leads us to this final point that I
mm-hmm.
wanted to make sure that we made,
mm-hmm.
and that is one of the things I'm asked. I have been asked by patients and friends and people in some of these kinds of situations. I've been asked, should I say anything? Should I?
Oh, patients are asked.
Should
patients.
I out
mm-hmm.
this
right.
situation? Should
right.
I say something? Should I, you know, write my story, publicize my
mm-hmm.
story?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that of course is a very, very challenging question to answer,
right.
because, you know, sometimes we're talking about, you know, adult women who were abused or assaulted as children
right.
who have never told anyone.
Right.
Or we're talking about people who, you know, something happened at a workplace and they opted to leave that position instead of enduring any more
mm-hmm.
of the abuse. And I think that there's a couple of things that I encourage them, and of course, if anyone is listening that is in such a situation and trying to make such a decision, there are a few things that, you know, we would certainly want you to consider. And the first main thing that we would really like for you to consider is, when you tell the story, or if you're going to tell the story, what is the purpose of telling the story?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
there could
be, what
do
you want to accomplish?
Right, there could be a number of reasons.
Right.
One is, it's just cathartic. It's therapeutic
right.
to tell your
mm-hmm.
story,
mm-hmm.
to get it We talked about that earlier this week, that the power of writing, the power of telling your story, right, and getting it out there and sharing it. Mm-hmm. That could be one reason. But another reason could be protecting other people.
Right.
You know,
right,
if you, you know, the huge thing, I think, with the Weinstein, mm-hmm, was that it wasn't that it was just Ashley Judd was the victim. It was this guy had victimized woman after woman after woman after woman after woman.
And intended to continue doing and, so.
Right.
So in a sense, they were protecting,
absolutely,
other girls from the girls. I say girls.
Right. Because they were young.
Because
yeah,
many of them were young. They were protecting others.
Right.
That's a worthwhile goal. Mm-hmm. If your secret,
right,
is creating stress, creating anxiety, creating problems, if it's not, if you've dealt with it and nothing is going to be accomplished,
right,
perhaps you don't need to do anything. On, mm-hmm, the other hand, if you're going to, if you need to protect other people,
right,
if you need to have this catharsis, if, mm-hmm, it's part of a healing process, then by all means.
Right. You know, and even when it's the healing process, even when it's cathartic, it doesn't necessarily mean that you put it in the newspaper.
Exactly.
It could be that you write it in a journal. It could be that you get into a support group and you talk about it there.
That's right. That's right.
It could mean there's a wide array of things that could happen. And not to go back to Al Franken again, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about him specifically, but when we think about situations where somebody said something inappropriate to someone, mm-hmm, no assault, no physical, right, anything, mm-hmm, that was, could be considered an assault. Something was said that, and it was done years ago. You know, that's something that you, mm-hmm, you talk about, that you work through so that, right, you can heal from, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, damage that may have imposed upon you. But that person today, the accused today, mm-hmm, may be a very different person than they were then, you know, 20 years ago,
right,
or whatever.
Sure.
If they're a very different person, publicizing and putting it out there that this is what... Okay, so I'm going to talk about Franken.
Well,
because that was the big thing, is that they said that these things that he was accused of, he did not do when he was a senator.
Right.
He didn't do that when he was in public office. Okay, yes, the things when he tried to kiss... I think it was that he tried to kiss the woman. I think that there was someone that I think he grabbed her backside, mm-hmm, or something like that.
Well, he was a senator.
No.
Okay.
Did he do any of that stuff as a senator?
I think there was one or two things that he did as a senator. I don't know exactly what they were. But you're right. And I was going to talk about it because he is one of the most vocal and strongest supporters of the Violence Against Women Act that, mm-hmm, Joe Biden passed in
94. Yeah.
Al Franken was a woman's biggest supporter.
Right.
They've lost that support now. Somebody's going to take his Senate seat, and we don't know that that person will,
right,
bring the same kind of zeal and ardor to,
right,
violence against women that Al, right, Franken did.
Right. Now, if he did stuff as a senator, and again, I had not heard that.
Right.
If he had done stuff as a senator, then I appreciate and,
right,
understand...
if he did,
that person, right,
and what it was,
right,
and, right.
But if the way that it was when he
initially
put in his,
right,
resignation and everything, all of this was done back when he was a comedian prior to serving in public office.
I think you're right. I think he resigned before the others came, before the,
right,
other accusations came.
Right.
Out.
So if he engaged in actions as a senator, then
because it's a different standard.
Right.
Right.
Right. But I worry about situations, and I think what really I was thinking about George H.W. Bush,
father,
yeah,
right.
Papa Bush.
Papa Bush, right?
Decent
man.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
But you've heard the allegations against him.
He's,
right,
been accused.
And,
you're right.
And we look at that situation and say, well, you know, he's. You know, he's older, and he, you know, and we give concessions because he's older, and so we see him, and I think we see him as harmless.
Right, right.
But but it's the same behaviors.
Yeah, right. Well, as far as we know.
As far as we know, right. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it is so difficult to balance those pieces, to balance the, okay, well, we're gonna kind of let this slide because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just him.
We all know.
Versus it's this guy. And so, hey, you know, he's still pretty active.
We don't like him anyway.
Right. And, you know.
It's interesting. No, I won't do that.
Yeah. So
it's easy to talk about presidents and compare them and say, you know, if it's your guy, you cut him some slack. If it's not your guy, then you want to throw the book at him.
Right. Okay? Absolutely.
So the messages are, because there's another issue that we didn't talk about that maybe we will in the future.
Mm-hmm.
How do we raise our children?
Right.
How do we raise our daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Given Me Too in times of, and how do we raise our sons?
Right.
Okay. And so I think, from these four articles, and I hope that you would read them, and I would love to continue this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear from our listeners
and
viewers. But the messages are, let's not have a repeat of the Salem witch trials and the McCarthy mm-hmm. scare. Okay, the Red Scare. I think we should avoid that. Be careful of these distinctions between the second message. The third is, let's not let urgency overwhelm fairness.
Right.
Yes, there's a problem. Yes, we have to solve the problem, but let's not throw the baby out with mm-hmm. the bathwater. Women's agency. Mm-hmm. I like the whole concept of women. That's from a woman, and she's challenging women to say, wait a minute, you have some agency here.
Right.
You're not just an object.
Right.
Somebody might try to turn you into one, but not without your permission, as Eleanor Roosevelt said. And then finally, I would want my daughters to be careful. No, I've talked to my daughters about this, about making accusations,
mm-hmm.
because if you accuse unfairly,
mm-hmm.
and if it turns out that innocent people are being hurt, you're going to jeopardize this movement.
Right.
You're going to jeopardize the very thing that we all want to occur.
Right.
Okay? So don't accuse unfairly, and if it, because you risk jeopardizing the movement,
right?
And I would ask you not to do that.
Yeah, it'll make the whole thing illegitimate.
You delegitimize if you're not telling the truth, and if it doesn't need to be public. Think carefully about it, because this is not a simple problem. We're very far from a solution, okay? But let's not create a problem where we don't need to have one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, we'd love to know what you think about all of these things. We danced very gingerly on the thin ice, but we would definitely love to hear what you have to say. So, you know, write to us, let us know what you think.
Yeah, this is something that's very present. I mean, this is something that's going to continue playing itself out in the news. Hopefully, Time's Up will mm-hmm. accomplish some of its goals, which are wonderful, laudable, very positive. Forward thinking. So let's keep the conversation going. We would love to hear from you.
All right, so that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.